Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Friday, September 27th. I'm Lauren Schmidt reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, Redwood Widowmaker hits moving car and triggers power outages. Southern Humboldt Legends celebration of life Saturday in Garberville. And Eureka City Council Meet the Candidates series continues with 4th Ward incumbent. Stay tuned, news on those stories and more coming right up. After 4 p.m. this afternoon, a redwood tree branch struck a moving car on Redwood Drive near the Healy Senior Center in Redway. The driver, Anson Waite, was unharmed, but the vehicle sustained significant damage. The incident also caused a power outage affecting 1,800 residents from Redway to Petrolia after the branch fell onto power lines.
Hi, my name is Anson Waite. I was driving up Bryson Road from Lower Redway to Upper Redway, and I saw a small branch fall ahead of me, and then I heard a loud crack sound, and the next thing I knew, a giant tree trunk was coming through my windshield into the passenger seat right next to me, and glass shattered everywhere in my face and my eyes, and yeah, just narrowly avoided death there.
As of news time, power has been restored. You can see a video of the damaged vehicle and the redwood branch on the KMUD News social media pages. On Saturday, September 28th, KMUD will be saying goodbye to one of its own. Eugene Ed Denson, host of Saturday Mornings, Don't Get Trouble on Your Mind, and the monthly talk show, The Rights Organization.
I'm Ed Denson. The show's Don't Get Trouble on Your Mind. You're listening to it on the station that is listener-supported and people-powered, Redwood Community Radio, Freedom Radio for the North Coast of California.
Ed left this world in April of this year at the age of 84, passing quietly at his home in Alder Point, with the love of his life by his side, Mary Alice Denson, his wife of 40 years. There will be a celebration of life for the radio legend in Garberville on Saturday, September 28th.
This is Daryl Cherney, and Emily Wood and I were asked by Mary Alice Denson if we could organize a memorial for Ed Denson, the beloved KMUD programmer, civil rights attorney, record company owner, the old manager of Country Joe and the Fish, and with such a rich history behind him. Ed was a true icon, a pillar of our community. A memorial for Ed Denson. It's going to be between 2 and 7. And it will be, it's a totally free event. It's a potluck. So we're really encouraging people to bring food and any beverage of their choice, desserts, the works, flowers. And it's we have some special musical guests. The Camo Cowboys have reconstituted themselves. Band in general is very appreciative of Ed playing their music. I was asked to play a few songs. The Fish from Country Joe and the Fish will be performing as well. And when people walk in at 2 o'clock, the Funicators will be opening up with an hour-long set as people walk in. There's lots of food, lots of drink. There's no charge for anything. If people want to make a donation in Ed's memory, we will have donation cans out, and the funds will go both to the family, the community park, and KMUD Radio as well. We'll be dividing up the money. And it's really, you know, it's as we get older and the community gets older, both individually and collectively, we start to see our elders, our icons, the wise people of our area pass away. And so this is also an opportunity for us to get together and not just remember Ed, and there will be a spot for people to come up and speak about Ed and their experiences, but it will be an opportunity for us to come together and see where we are all at as a community.
Eugene Ed Denson was a legend, even beyond Southern Humboldt. From managing and discovering famous artists to running Kicking Mule Records out of his Alder Point barn, his influence spans decades. He also played a pivotal role in the local civil rights movement, particularly during the government's campaign against marijuana planting and the marijuana eradication raids in Soham. As president of the Civil Liberties Monitoring Project for many years, Ed became a key figure in advocating for civil liberties. He also trained as a nonviolence preparer for the Citizens Observation Group. In 1992, Ed ran for Humboldt County Supervisor, placing fourth out of eight candidates. A few years later, in 1995, he would enroll in law school and graduated in 1999. That same month, passing the California Bar Exam and was sworn in as an attorney. For the first 16 years of his legal practice, Ed focused on defending individuals charged with marijuana offenses or driving under the influence. He also provided pro bono representation for activists arrested during protests against old-growth logging and, more recently, environmental protests related to the Willett Bypass construction on Highway 101. In 2017, Ed, along with Fred Fletcher, successfully sued Humboldt County for illegally changing its laws related to the marijuana tax. Ed was a host on KERG, Redway's first radio station, before KMUD hit the airwaves. He held down his weekly show and estimated that by 2020, he had played over 40,000 songs on air. All who knew Ed in his personal, professional, or radio life are invited to join his friends and family at the Southern Humboldt Community Park Saturday, September 28th.
The community is invited to attend. It is, in some ways, it's a private event in that it's just us. There's no charge for it. Everything is free. But on the other hand, we are inviting the public to come and participate in any way they like to. We are encouraging people, especially if you have memorabilia of Ed Denson, any old posters or things he gave you or things you have of his, or stories that you want to tell about Ed. Those are the people we really want to see there. But even new people who don't know who Ed is would be fascinated to come and hear the amazing stories. So it is open to whoever would like to come to the community park, Southern Humboldt Community Park, on Sprout Creek Road.
Ed's celebration of life will take place from 2 to 7 p.m. at the Southern Humboldt Community Park, located at 1144 Sproul Creek Road in Garberville. Attendees can follow the signs for Ed's memorial. Folks are encouraged but not required to bring dishes, sides, salads, appetizers, desserts, beverages, and bouquets. Volunteers are still needed for setup and cleanup during the event. You can sign up to support at 707-223-4471. Additionally, donations to cover the memorial expenses can be made at the Ed Denson Memorial Expenses GoFundMe page. An avid blogger on social media, one of Ed's last posts stated, quote, "Good night, friends, and remember, tomorrow is another day," end quote. And on behalf of everyone here at Redwood Community Radio, Ed, we love and miss you. Thank you for the many years of providing us with great radio.
I'll be back here next week with the best and much of the rest in American folk and blues. Till I see you again, my advice, don't let the news give you the blues.
This week, KMUD News has been hosting our Meet the Candidates series, where we featured those running for Eureka City Council. In Ward 2, incumbent Katie Moulton is challenged by Kenny Carswell. In Ward 4, incumbent Scott Bauer is challenged by Tavisak Lucky Simpenthong. Each candidate was given 15 minutes to share their platforms, and all were asked the same set of questions. Incumbents were asked to highlight their accomplishments during their time in office, while challengers were asked what inspired them to run. We have presented the candidates in reverse alphabetical order by last name, giving our listeners a comprehensive look at their priorities and vision for Eureka's future. And tonight, we feature our final candidate, 4th Ward incumbent, Scott Bauer.
My name's Scott Bauer. I'm currently city on the city council for Eureka, for the, representing the 4th Ward. My, you know, my background, I'm a scientist. I work for the state of California, and I have two boys, teenage boys, a lovely wife. And, you know, I've been doing this for 4 years, and it's been a really rewarding time for me to represent my city and do what we can, you know, to make it a great place for not only, you know, for the citizens, for everybody that comes to town. So I've really enjoyed this time, and I hope to get to do it another 4 years.
Reflecting on your time in office, what accomplishments are you most proud of during your tenure?
Well, you know, first is really, it is getting a solid budget. You know, the voters passed Measure H, which I campaigned vigorously for, and as well as others. And, you know, we finally have the ability to, you know, to fund things. You know, I mean, we're doing all, our city's growing so much. I mean, we're redoing our parks. You know, we've have the funding to staff our safety, our police, our firefighters. We've able to give raises to everybody. So to me, that's like the main pillar of how, you know, as a city, how you conduct business and how you're able to do things is having adequate staffing, you know, funded well, paid well. And then what we've tried to do, you know, with housing, you know, we've approved of a lot of housing projects, and, you know, a lot of that's based off of funding, getting grant funding to do that. But I feel like we're moving forward on that, right? We're constantly striving to make things easier too. And the state's done that through a lot of mechanisms like ADUs being really easy to develop or easier. And, you know, our transportation system, not only are we paving a lot of roads, you know, we just approved $2.5 million in road rehabilitation, but we're building bike trails. You know, we're making a multimodal system of transportation that really wasn't there, you know, in a city that's built out. It's a challenge to do that, but I think we've come a long way with our transportation system, with our trails. You know, we're working on another big trail, the Beta Zoo Trail. And, you know, as far as like how we conduct business, you know, we're always striving to be greener, right? To make sure that, you know, we're investing in green infrastructure, solar, you know, EVs. So all of those things to me are what makes a city successful. And I think we're doing that. You know, I think we're accomplishing a lot. And I tell people all the time, though, you know, things take time. You know, I'm talking about with transportation, we're talking about, you know, decades of not investing in transportation because we didn't have the money to. So now we're moving along. Things are getting better. I think this is a city that, you know, one day will be looked at as it is a destination for people, but I also think it'll be a place that is really desirable, you know, for a lot of people, which makes the housing component pretty difficult, right? It's going to make it harder, but it is moving along pretty good. And I'm proud to be a part of that effort.
What are the top five issues you would like to focus on? Are any of them specific to Ward 4? And can you touch on how you plan to address them?
You know, I think across America, it's really, we're an urban area. And I like to say, you know, we have big city problems, right? So we have things like, I mean, you know, homelessness is a huge issue, which, you know, we're currently building out the Betty Chin Village, and we're trying to provide as much housing as possible. But homelessness is still an issue that you see across America, and we're doing our best to you know, take on that challenge. Second, probably, you know, is mental health, and you and that, and those two coincide, right? They're a lot of times they're pretty synonymous with, you know, homelessness, mental illness. They're tied together, and so those two are I hear about all the time, right? What are we doing? And we've done a lot, like with the Uplift program, with CSET, like we're taking on the challenge of homelessness and mental health by a different kind of path, you know, trying to de-escalate and get people the help they need. So those two are really big issues. Another one, of course, is housing, like I just talked about. You know, that is, again, another big city problem. And California is particularly challenged by housing. And, you know, we're working on that constantly, approving housing projects. You know, things are getting built, albeit not fast enough, right? So we're working on that. Again, transportation, having safe streets has been a big issue that we're working on. I think everything, the biggest challenges facing all the wards of the city are big city problems, and we're doing the best we can. You know, I serve on the board of directors for Cal Cities, where, you know, representing all the cities in California, and I'm always there trying to figure out how do we get more money, how do we address these issues, their funding issues, and I'm always there trying to champion Eureka and our rural areas, and last but not least, really, you know, climate change, sea level rise for our little city by the bay is an effect, you know, and maybe it's not immediate, and I have this argument with people all the time, like, you know, it's a long ways out. It's not, you know, and we have to start planning for that, you know, whether, what do we do, you know, how do we protect our critical infrastructure, our sewer treatment plant, how do we do all those things that we need to do to be a resilient community? And that's what I think, why I think I'm right for this, because I believe in that the real goal of everything we city does is community resiliency, right? How do we be resilient in the face of all of those issues that I just mentioned? And that just comes from a lot of hard work and understanding the issues. You know, I've had 4 years to learn the issues. And I think that I want to continue that. And it takes time to understand how the city works, how government works. And I really think I'm, you know, geared for that. And I'm having a background of years of working on, you know, policy planning, that kind of thing. I think I can take on those challenges, and our current city council is doing as good a job as any in addressing those issues.
My final question is in regards to Measure F, the Citizens Initiative to amend Eureka's general plan. Could you share your thoughts on this measure, whether you support it or not, and explain your reasoning?
Yeah, you know, I do not support Measure F. Like I said, the city's really worked hard to get housing, you know, geared up and ready to go, to get development going. And I think what we've done with approving of potential places to build housing, you know, this is not, nothing has been set in stone, but we've met our rural housing needs assessment arena by proposing these developments. And, you know, anytime somebody spends a huge amount of money to advance an initiative, you have to question that. What's your motivation? Is it altruistic what you're doing by spending so much money? And I think people should think about that. You know, do they really care about Eureka when they propose something that, you know, propose a site that we don't even own, propose changes to how we develop land and how that affects, you know, decades of planning, right? I mean, this is an ongoing process to build housing. So I always question that, and I always have, you know, I question people's motivation. And to me, it doesn't seem like the motivation behind Measure F is benefit the city. It's not going to improve things. It's not going to make housing be built faster. The use of the housing for all, you know, it's just simply not true. So I'm all about continuing down the path that we're on, not trying to transform it with an initiative I frankly don't think was written very well. So, we'll see what happens, but I hope that the public understands and to take a closer look and to understand, you know, when you're spending over $1 million so far, just got a flyer today about it. Question that. What is it? What's really behind this? You know, is it they want to improve the city or is it something else? So I'll be voting no.
And Scott, with a few minutes left on the clock, are there any other closing remarks or final thoughts you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I appreciate the time today. I really, like I said, I really believe in resilient communities. And I think we're one of those. I mean, if you can just think back, I think back when I first joined the city council, we were spending, you know, $700,000 on roads. And now we're triple that, almost quadruple that. I think about the trail network that we've built. I think about what we've done with our policing, you know, trying to go about a different way of addressing, you know, our safety concerns. People still, you know, bring that up constantly, safety, and we're working on it, you know, and we have a great bunch of law enforcement that are doing their best to keep us safe and to keep people safe that are in crisis, because that's what's going on. People are having crisis and, you know, that we're working on those things, you know, and we have a long ways to go. But if you just look at what we're doing, if you look at the development, you look at what we're doing with our parks, what we're doing as a city, you know, having adequate staffing. I tell people, you know, like the business of the city is what we're doing. You can have these like 30,000 foot view of how things should be, but really a city is a business and you have to run it like that, you know, and that requires balancing your budget, that requires making sure people are happy, your staff are happy, and your citizens will benefit from that. You know, I have a lot of friends in that live in the city, and people are, you know, generally happy. I'm like, yeah, you know, let's keep it going. Let's keep going down this path that we're on. And we're fortunate, you know, having a solid budget and having things like the Redwood Skywalk that are attracting people. We're growing. And that has its own challenges, but, you know, that's how cities can do things, you know, is by growing and doing it in a sustainable manner that will benefit our future. You know, I'll end with this. You know, I have a couple of kids and I really want them to, you know, go off to college and hopefully want to come back. And that's one of my real motivations is to leave behind a legacy that our youth can go away and be like, you know what? That was a pretty great place to grow up and live. I'm going back and I'm bringing back my knowledge and skills and my love for the city. And that's what it's all about, is that we can leave behind something that's better than how we found it. And that's what I hope I'm doing. And that's what I want to continue to do. With another 4 years.
Again, that was Scott Bauer running for a second term for Eureka City Council's 4th Ward. If you've missed previous editions of our Meet the Candidate series, you can find them on our SoundCloud. That's soundcloud.com/KMUD News. Or you can go to KMUD.org to find a link.
This year's Milk Can game, which is one of the most storied rivalries in HTNL football, was one of the most exciting in years and went right down to the final 2 minutes of the game. Hello and welcome to this week's K-Mud News Sports Report. I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com. We'll have more on Saturday's big game in just a moment, and we'll also be looking at some of the other big local sports stories this week, including all the latest local high school and college football, news of a busy week for local high school boys and girls soccer, a memorable win for the Cal Poly Humboldt volleyball team, and news of a big weekend in store for one local rugby team. But first up, the 2024 Milk Can rivalry game went right down to the wire on Saturday as the Ferndale Wildcats held on late to beat the Fortuna Huskies in Ferndale by a score of 29-26. With a packed house in attendance, the two rivals served up an instant classic in a back-and-forth game. The Cats enjoyed the better of exchanges in the first half and opened up a 21-12 lead going into the break, thanks in large part to three touchdowns scored by quarterback Tanner Pigeon. But the Huskies would retake the momentum in the third quarter, with junior running back Cavi Bolden finding the end zone on a pair of long touchdown runs to give his team a 26-21 advantage. The Wildcats, however, would battle back to retake the lead on a Prescott Langer touchdown run with just 6 minutes remaining. But the game was far from over, and the visitors pieced together an impressive and lengthy drive to move deep into Ferndale territory, only for Ferndale's Jonah Anderson to come away with a game-clinching interception with under 90 seconds remaining. The win lifts the Wildcats to 3-0 on the season, while the Huskies drop to 2-2 after suffering a second heartbreaking loss in just 3 weeks, having also lost late to Arcata in week two. Also in action last week, the Arcata Tigers remained unbeaten with an impressive 38-20 win at Oakland as they improved to 4-0. The Del Norte Warriors also won their game against Skyline in Crescent City, shutting out the visitors 48-0 to go to 2-2, while St. Bernard's won big at Clear Lake, defeating the Cardinals 45-13 and also improving to 4-0. The Hoopa Warriors also won big, posting their second straight victory at Trinity by a score of 50-20 and improving to 2-2. The other three HTNL teams did not fare as well. The Eureka Loggers fell 29-16 at Willow Glen in San Jose, and they are now 1-3. McKinleyville lost 49-6 to University Prep and dropped to 0-3. And the South Fork Cubs lost 50-16 at Hayfork and also dropped to 0-3. South Fork, Arcata, Eureka, and Hoopa all have a bye this weekend, but five HTNL varsity teams will be in action, including a pair of all-local matchups. On Friday night, Del Norte plays at McKinleyville and Fortuna travels to play University Prep. On Saturday afternoon at 2, two of the league's three remaining unbeaten teams will play at St. Bernard's when the Crusaders entertain Ferndale. The Mendocino County teams were also in action last weekend. Willits improved to 3-1 with a 44-30 win over Lower Lake, while Fort Bragg got a forfeit victory over Cloverdale to go to 2-2. The Wolverines and Timberwolves will face off on Friday night at Willits High School. The Ukiah Wildcats also won last week, defeating Chico 28-21 to go to 2-1. Ukiah will be back in action on Friday night when San Marin comes to town. Laytonville and Round Valley also played each other last week, with Round Valley winning 46-8. In local college football, meanwhile, College of the Redwoods suffered its first defeat of the season, falling 21-7 at Monterey Peninsula on Saturday. The loss drops the Corsairs to 2-1 on the season, and they will try to bounce back when they host San Jose at the Redwood Bowl this Saturday, with kickoff set for 1 p.m. In local high school soccer, it was a busy week for the HDNL teams. In girls' action on Wednesday, a young South Fork Cubs team enjoyed a breakthrough victory over St. Bernard's in Miranda, after Hannah Savio had given the Cubs a late 2-1 lead with a breakaway goal 10 minutes from time. The South Fork defense held firm down the stretch for the victory. South Fork head coach Ann Constantino says it was the Cubs' first win over St. Bernard's in around 15 years. South Fork is now 1-1 in conference play, while St. Bernard's dropped to 0-1-1. The Del Norte girls also won 2-0 at Ferndale to take over sole possession of top spot in the Little Four standings with a record of 2-0, while the Cats dropped to 0-1-1. In Big 5 girls action, Eureka improved to 2-0 in conference play with a hard-fought 1-0 win over McKinleyville, which dropped to 0-2. Arcata also won 2-0 at Fortuna to leave both the Tigers and Huskies at 1-1 in league. In boys action on Tuesday, the Arcata Tigers improved to 4-0 in league with a comprehensive 5-0 win at Eureka as the Loggers dropped to 1-2. The Fortuna boys also won on Tuesday, scoring 4 second half goals in a 4-2 win over McKinleyville, less than a week after they suffered a tough 1-0 loss at Del Norte. The Huskies improved to 3-1 in league play, while Del Norte, which had a midweek bye, is now 2-0-1. In volleyball, meanwhile, the Del Norte girls posted a big 4-sets win over the Arcata Tigers on Tuesday night to go to 2-0 in the Big 5 and take over the lead in the standings, while the Eureka Loggers won at McKinleyville and are tied with the Tigers for second with a record of 1-1. In the Little 4, the Ferndale Wildcats beat St. Bernard's for the first time in 3 years in their conference opener as the defending champion Crusaders dropped to 1-1 in league play. In college volleyball, it was a big week for the Cal Poly Humboldt women, who stunned the defending Division II national champions, Cal State Los Angeles, in a 5-set thriller at Lumberjack Arena on Saturday. The Jacks improved to 1-1 in conference play. And finally this week, the Cal Poly Humboldt men's rugby team will kick off the new season under the lights at the Redwood Bowl on Friday night when they entertain San Francisco State, with the game set to begin at 7 p.m. And that's this week's KMUD News Sports Report. Until next time, I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com.
That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our engineer, and thanks to our reporters. Reporting from our studio in Redway, I'm Lauren Schmidt.